Okay, welcome back. Here it is, Monday, and it's time for Jeff and Erica, our first of three installments this week of new information about the greatest crime perhaps in human history, the genocide of much of the planet. We don't know how many people are going to die, obviously. We do know that there are a lot more people dead than most people thought. And that's rather obvious. It's a slam dunk when you think about who is running the media, because the media is the reality for most people. And what they're told, they just don't question. And I'm beginning to think that they're questioning it less and less than ever, perhaps. It's pretty grim out there. Hello, young lady, and welcome back.
Hi there. Thank you, Jeff.
Gee, you always sound like you're so happy and upbeat and cheerful. And poor Erica wades through this Sturm und Drang all day, not all day, but many days, of these people on these social media boards, forums, who have been wounded or who are trying to figure out why they don't feel good when they've been around people who have been vaxxed or wounded. We don't know. We do think that, in all likelihood, people who have been wounded are only going to continue to get worse. And that's sad to say. I don't like saying it, but that's what it appears to be. Their lives have been obviously ruined in many cases, and certainly cut short in most cases. And that's the sad truth of it. It's just a tragic situation brought about by utterly satanic evil on this planet. And I'm putting a story up momentarily, written by Phil Restino, a friend of the program's and mine, about the simple fact that Americans will not rise up and fight government tyranny. Not going to happen. And he makes some very good points about how this is already historically proven. So it's a good essay. It's about number three, and from the top, you'll see it. Americans won't rise up and fight government tyranny. They just won't. They can't. They won't.
Well, I think a certain proportion of them don't even realize it's happening.
Correct. Yep. That's part of the puzzle. They don't know. And it's only going to get worse, dear friends. It's not going to get better. We're waiting for the other shoe to fall, or should I say, the next shoe to fall. Marburg? Huh? Ebola? H5N1? That's probably the favorite. We're looking at that one. They'll blame the birds, and they'll say, well, it somehow morphed, and now it's happy in people. So we'll see. Soon enough. They'll do it when they're ready. It's all controlled. It's like looking through a microscope and playing with the bacteria, you see, and we're the bacteria.
Mm.
So there. Now, we have said, I have said, I don't want to speak for Erica always, that it would not be a big surprise if we've lost 10% of the American population in the last 2.5 years. It's 2.5.
I agree. I agree.
I don't think, because it would have happened over time, 2.5 years, incrementally, and the average person would not miss 1 out of 10 people in the general landscape of society that we have been living in for a long time. They just wouldn't miss it. 1 out of 10, nah, they wouldn't notice. If it happened overnight, they might notice it, but it didn't happen overnight. So now we're looking, of course, ahead, wondering if the Deagle numbers are going to be proven correct or even close. And that's a year and 7 months away now. That's it. January 1st, 2025. So it's coming on fast. So we will see. Now, there was an interesting comment done by Ed Dowd, D-O-W-D. Many people, I think, know the name Ed Dowd, Edward Dowd. He's a financial guru of sorts, but he's been studying this issue of how many people have been wounded by the vax, I assume, and or killed. And he thinks he's come up with a pretty pretty doggone good set of numbers to back up his contention that about 27 million Americans have been killed or wounded in the last 2 years and 5 months. And that's pretty close to my guesstimate at 30 million. They're gone. They're either dead gone or they're gone off the streets because they're now vegetables or ruined and they're ashamed or whatever. They're ailing. They don't feel good. So I think that, this is a reasonable projection. And Ed Dowd now is pretty much, you know, on the same frequency. So we're going to play that in just a moment or two and get your opinion about it. All of you out there who care about these things, and that's most of you, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, for those that don't know, Ed Dowd has been, I think he came forth well over a year ago. He was in the, he was former BlackRock portfolio manager, I think.
Yeah.
And since been out on his own, I don't know for how long. But anyway, he was looking at the insurance numbers and couldn't believe it. You know, there's just no way these payouts can happen without bankrupting the insurance providers.
And
it's people that are looking at these numbers day in and day out as part of their profession that are really seeing that you know, something's wrong, seriously wrong.
The whole health and insurance industry is a dark and dirty business. Believe that.
Mm.
They've got more money to know what to do with and try and get it back. Good luck. So here's Edward Dowd. Let's see what he has to say. I've heard it, but I think you'll find this interesting. It's about 5 minutes or so. That's it. And he's on with Greg Hunter, who's got a nice program. So let's see what Ed has to say. Right after the commercial. 3, 2, 1, goodbye.
I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. Before I introduce my guest, I want you to know this is brought to you by the Satellite Phone Store. They have new deals on a couple of fantastic satellite phones. We have a 12-month...
Well, from one commercial to another, I didn't see this one coming. All right, let me move this up just a drop. Okay, here we go.
It's not good. And he focused not only just on death, but injuries and disabilities, and they are astronomical. He came out with a report, had 26 million people injured and then disabled, and then the deaths are going to be coming later, as Cliff High said. It's
26 million injured and disabled. They're not factoring the deaths in there. So I don't know what number they're going to come up with regarding deaths, but my position is we may have 30 million dead or severely injured. So let's follow this. It's interesting.
Ed Dowd, it's Ed Dowd, who is a financial analyst extraordinaire. He has a website called financetechnologies.com. He also is the author of this very good selling book, Cause Unknown. There'll be links at the end of both his enterprise and his book. Ed Dowd, thanks for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Thanks for having me on today, Greg. Good to be here. And it's Finance Technology with a PH instead of an F.
Finance Technology with a PH. Thank you for pointing that out. But I'll put a link up and I'll spell it correctly. I wanted to just come up with your report. 26 million people who are injured, missing work. And then we have the whole another layer of disabled and then a whole another layer of people who are sick. This is going to affect the economy in a very negative way. And that's the new wrinkle here with what's coming, right?
Yeah. So bottom line is we did our vaccine damage report after months and months of collecting data. And there's three buckets. There's the dead, the disabled, and the injured. And the dead are, you know, easy enough to find. It's ones and zeros. It's excess mortality. We conservatively estimated over 21 and 22, 300,000 deaths. We're probably on the low side. Then with the disabled, conservatively 1.36 million disabled from the vaccines. And then 20.
Now, disabled means non-ambulatory in most cases. They're not going to be out and about. they're just out of the picture. They're home or wherever they are, but they're no longer really functional. They are disabled.
6.6 million people injured. And we derive...
Let me back it up.
1,000 deaths. We're probably on the low side. Then, relatively, as we're collecting data. And there's three buckets. There's the dead, the disabled, and the injured. And the dead are, you know, easy enough to find. It's ones and zeros. It's excess mortality. We conservatively estimated over 21 and 22, 300,000 deaths. We're probably on the low side. Then the disabled, conservatively 1.36 million disabled from the vaccines. And then 26.6 million people injured. And we derive, you know, we derive the death data from excess mortality analysis. We derive the disability data from U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, plus looking at the mRNA clinical trials and the severe adverse events, we were able to link the trials to the disabilities we're seeing. And then the injuries we also got from the Pfizer clinical trials as well.
With all due and sincere respect to Edward Dowd, his source material bases are not where I would go. Are there others? Maybe there aren't. But when you start trusting the government and Pfizer to produce anything honest, you've stepped into very soggy ground. I'm not knocking this. He had nowhere else to go. But I would not look to either the government or Pfizer for any honest data. I just wouldn't.
No.
All right. So I just want to make that clear. That's where he got these numbers. And from these numbers, he has projected about 27 million injured and disabled. If the real numbers were somehow able to be acquired, what would they be? 50 million? 75 million? I don't know.
We were able to then figure out how that's impacting the economy, but through the absence in work time data at the BLS, U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. So we came up with 26.6 million people. Our math is on our website, how we get there, how we impute that. And anecdotally, it's all making sense. Everyone's reporting coworkers that are chronically ill and sick. And the work time data is really the smoking gun. It went 13 standard deviations above the 20-year trend line in 2022. It went up, obviously, in 2020 through the disruptions. Then it went up again in 21, but it exploded in 2022, well after the virus and well into the vaccine program. And it's just a stunning 13 standard deviation event. It's a black swan event. So that affects about 10% of the total population, but 30% of the labor force, because the labor force is about 100 to 110 million people. And, you know, with 26.6 million, the disabled and the dead, it's around 28.9 million all in. That's about 30% of the labor force who's either died, been disabled, or is chronically sick. And it's going to have huge implications on productivity going forward, where we're going to focus our efforts as an economy. We're going to have to set up systems to take care of these people. That's lost productivity and things that we could do otherwise. It's also affecting the unemployment rate. The Fed thinks the unemployment rate is 3.6%. Given our numbers, it's actually 2.6% because the shadow unemployment from these injuries and disabilities. And that's going to make the Fed probably keep rates too high too long and squash the economy even further. We're expecting emergency rate cuts later in the year once they realize the error of their ways. But they're going to hike this Wednesday, maybe hike one more time, because they're looking at the unemployment data, which is wrong because of the injuries and disabilities.
Okay, that's pretty much his statement about what he has found. So figure 27 million on the most conservative sets of data I think you could work with. If not, well, I wouldn't trust him. But, okay, so we've got a very conservative projection there off conservative data of 27 million. Injured, wounded, disabled. This is horrific. And I had a story last night that oh, what was it? Australia has an excess death rate. It's absolutely astronomically high. The you poor, we've got listeners down there. Bless all of you. You've been just you've had the crap beaten out of you with this stuff. You've lost an awful lot of people, and many more are on the way out. And that, I don't know why they did that to Australia, but they did. I guess because it was isolated down there, and they could watch it more closely. Anyhow, go ahead.
We can predict it's only going to get worse. There seems to be a new development in people who have taken the jab that they're developing vision issues, namely strange types of clots in the eyes, but, you know, not your typical clots. These appear to be, my guess is, these amyloid deposits or fibrils that have somehow formed in the iris. They may lose their vision.
How do people have already had they've already lost vision. They're having vision problems. I'm sure there are people out there.
Early on there were reports of that, and that's, you know, this is not something you would typically see on social media because, you know, if you can't see, you can't type, nor can you read. So, but I do remember hearing reports of people that went blind shortly after having the jab.
And who's to advocate for them now? What are they doing? They're sitting home blind right now. Listening,
right,
maybe, to this program, whatever. They're blind. That's it. It's over. Done.
That's a pretty severe handicap.
It's horrible. I think this is, again, worsening by the minute. We have to go back and again, start from the beginning. And the beginning is Dr. Chetty and the spike protein. And that we know the spike causes, from head to toe, wherever the blood goes, the spike goes. And it loves to live in nerve tissue as well. And the spike is constantly microclotting its surroundings and misfolding proteins. Remember, your body's flooded with God only knows how many proteins, different kinds doing different things. And when the spike meets a protein, it wrecks it. It misfolds. It's done. It then becomes just a piece of proteinaceous material, which end up stuck in groups, aggregates, that we call amyloid clots and amyloid plaques, if you're going to talk specifically about the brain. So from head to toe, anyone manufacturing or picking up spike in a shedding situation is in all likelihood manufacturing microclots around the clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably the biggest concern, at least initially, that starts this whole cascade of, the tissue hypoxia, and eventual oxygen starvation in the tissue so that things don't work the way they're supposed to. And these are very stressed tissues. And a lot of damage is done when you have these bouts of microclotting followed by reperfusion. When the oxygen is restored to the tissue, you can get a lot of oxidative stress and free radical damage. And then that's, repeated bouts of that destroys the endothelium, can ultimately destroy the organs and tissues that are fed by those blood vessels.
We don't...
It's like an aggressive, very, very aggressive form of diabetes, let's say.
Good. And again, it's not stopping. It's getting worse. And if you remember what we told you about the E. coli bacteria, kind of the missing link, as it were, to how the mRNA was to be produced in the body, because we knew it was coming from somewhere. After the injection died down, that there was a renewal of mRNA. And these, To explain that again, I'll let you do it this time.
Well, in these injections, there have been found these DNA plasmids that were part of the production process, presumably. They should have been filtered out, purified out. But somehow, there's a significant amount of them in these vials. And enough so that when it's injected and it circulates in the body and encounters your bacteria, your bacteria can uptake these DNA plasmids and begin to produce possibly the mRNA. More likely the spike. Whatever is coded in these plasmids will be produced by the bacteria. And bacteria talk to each other. They share genetic material amongst each other. And if there's something beneficial about a certain gene, it will spread around. So there's a gene for the spike protein in these DNA plasmids, and there's also genes for antibiotic resistance. What bacteria wouldn't like to have some of that? So profound changes in people's microbiome are extremely likely following these injections, and I think we are seeing that. Some of these people have pretty severe gastrointestinal issues happening.
Major. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, there's more bacteria on you and in you than there are human cells. And when the bacteria is altered in such a way that it's becoming pathogenic, it's no longer symbiotic, it's no longer serving you, you've got a real problem.
And just remember...
So,
go ahead. Go.
That Dr. Sabine Hazen, the gastroenterologist, figured out some time ago that the vaxxed are becoming depleted, completely depleted, of the butyrate-producing bacteria, which is primarily bifidobacteria, but there are others, after the vax. And it's, funnily enough, it isn't immediately after the vax. It's progressive over time so that it becomes less and less and less. So she hypothesizes that something in the vax or something in the bacteria now is killing off this bifidobacteria. And without bifidobacteria, you're in real trouble.
How can a baby end up with zero bifidobacteria? Zero.
Well, if it's nursing off a mother who's been injected with this and is producing spike protein, that spike protein may be acting as some type of phage that can destroy bifidobacteria. And when that happens, now you've got a vacuum, an open space where other opportunistic pathogens, different types of bacteria can move in and overtake the microbiome and cause all kinds of problems. 70% of the immune system is your microbiome. It communicates very intimately with the cells that line the gastrointestinal tract. So when that's not working well, you've got serious problems.
Absolutely. The story I mentioned about Americans and why they will not rise up to fight government tyranny, I think is worth a quick read here. It's not very long. Phil Restino sent it in. Let me pull up another page here and see if I can open the window and read it. It's a good one. It explains part of the problem. There's more to it, but Phil's got a very good grip on it. Hi, Jeff. I'm listening to Hour 2 right now, and the mortician from the UK, he's talking about last Friday's program when we played some John O'Looney. The mortician from the UK, John O'Looney, is speaking. I disagree as far as people rising up and creating civil unrest once the people wake up to the COVID shot population reduction program and how they and their loved ones have actually been murdered by these injections. Look how New Yorkers, for example, failed to fight back when they were hit right in their own front yard on 9/11. What did they do when it was so obvious that every firefighter and building professional and anyone who had a basic primary school education should have known that two 110-story steel-framed concrete skyscrapers no way in hell became, because of the office fires in them, fueled by office furnishings and kerosene-based jet fuel, can blow up into dust these buildings, which then fell in perfect symmetry into their own footpath, foot imprint. It's just not possible. None of them waved the flag and called each other heroes. They just obeyed. Look how in Vietnam, the Vietnam-era parents of troops killed and maimed in Iraq on the in-your-face WMD's lie. What did they do when it was clear to everyone that the government lied about WMDs? They did nothing. They waved the flag and called their maimed and killed kids heroes. Look how the people residing in the greater Boston area failed to say no and fight back against the military lockdown. Remember that? And the occupation following the ridiculous Boston Marathon false flag attack of April 2013. What did they do? Well, they thanked the military troops, pointing guns at them and their children, and commandeering their homes, and later had parades celebrating each other as Boston Strong. Well, that was 10 years ago. And the communists have learned much from that. The strong and relentless programs to neuter boys and girls and men in this country, be it chemicals, schools, media, social media, conditioning, and psychological manipulation. And God knows what chemicals and poisons that have been put into the food and water supply have only further neutralized the male population of the U.S. and those in other Western countries. How this almost entire country rolled over to the tyrannical lockdowns, loss of livelihoods, and forced injections of experimental substances because the government said so. All I can say, Jeff, is that we are way too gone and long since past having any kind of resistance to or fight back from the American people who have for decades been bending over and grabbing the flag, shouting USA, and thanking the big, well, jerks who have raped and pillaged them when it's all over. Maybe you'll want to read this on air and share it with others. There is not going to be any kind of patriot uprising, no matter how many guns and ammunition each of those patriots have. And when there is one or two who bravely step out onto the empty battlefield, once they start taking heat, they will be left out there all alone. Phil, so just thoughts of one American who knows a lot about human nature and history. It's just not there. There has been no instance of Americans standing up, led by alpha males or whomever, and fighting back to any of these horrors. Not since the Vietnam War has America taken to the streets. And they turned that war around. They forced it to stop. They said no more. But it's not the same people anymore. What, Gen Z, 26 years of age and under? Another couple of years, if we make it that long, they'll be almost 30. Gen Z. And now with no reading and writing or math proficiency required to graduate from high school in California and one other state, I can't remember which one. That's so far, that's a trend. And that's going to spread. Because it's racist and discriminatory to try to force minorities to learn how to read and write and do arithmetic in a white man's language world. So it's crazy. It really is crazy. So, no, I don't expect anything. Not realistic.
No, it would have happened by now. If it was going to happen, it would have happened.
Right. You said that the other day, and you're totally right.
No. Think about it. Look at all these babies and children now that are becoming crippled, maimed, killed.
Oh, they're being murdered, massacred, and mutilated, slaughtered.
It's an acceptable sacrifice of some sort.
Yeah. It is truly astonishing how little pushback there has been. Embarrassing. Shamefully embarrassing.
Yeah.
So there we go. All right. Now here's a little clip. I put it up at the top of the homepage. It's only 3 minutes long. It's a good one. Mike Yeadon, I think he was talking to Catherine Fitz about the state of affairs, and I'll play this now. It's self-explanatory. Michael Yeadon, former director of science and vice president of Pfizer. I think that was his title, something like that.
I think we're in the middle of an ongoing crime. I've no idea how long it's going to last. I'm convinced that it will be the biggest crime in history. It's global. It has the intent of control, removing everybody's freedom. And I personally think will involve killing further millions, if not billions of people. That makes it a pretty big competitor for the title worst crime in history. It is long planned. I won't bore you with the details, but I've definitely come across information that shows that the components of the deceit that they've used, you know, PCR, exaggerated PCR testing, the use of fear-based messaging through the media, this stuff's been rehearsed by militaries and the people we might think of as the spooks for at least 25 years and possibly longer. So it's long planned, very serious. Here's the thing, why I'm calling you to arm, it's not going to return to the old normal. One, that's never their intention. So it's not going to happen passively because there isn't a natural phenomenon that's going to wear off. They're not going to allow it to return to normal. So if you comply with this tyranny, it will end with the loss of your liberty and probably your life. The supply chains that move materials, raw materials and finished goods around the world are being sawn through on a global scale. You've only got to look at where the shipping is, where it should be and where it actually is. And terrifyingly, the same is happening to food production worldwide, food and fertilizer production. It's in the wrong place. It's deliberate. They're smashing the means of manufacturing enough calories to keep 7.8 billion people alive. And, you know, where do you think that's going to end? Well, the answer is mass starvation, war, global migration. That's what's going to happen if you and everybody else choose to do nothing at all. Also, economic destruction we can see happening around us. Interest rates will rise on the back of huge debts. That will just cause mass bankruptcies, rolling recessions, depressions, things like that. And I would also imagine loss of confidence in the very thing called money. So any savings you've got, I think they'll just vanish. Literally, people will just say, I no longer trust sterling. I don't want to accept it. And so all your savings are now worth nothing. So if you wait, I believe it'll be too late. I think you already know that I'm broadly telling you something that's closer to the reality than what government's telling me. But I believe that we can head off the worst crimes in history by actively withdrawing our consent and definitely not accepting these digital ID for any reason. If you accept it, they will sweep over us. And so just in the last few words, I implore you to get involved, to use some of what I and others are saying to you. Be brave, actually. You have to be brave now and risk embarrassment and recruit other people to this cause, and we can roll them over.
Well, I like Mike's optimism, but for reasons already elucidated, I don't think that that's going to happen. When people literally derive their reality from the flat screen, whether it's handheld or on the wall in the home, they're out of the game. They're living in another reality. They're not players anymore. They're gone. And I don't blame them. I'm not mocking them. I don't feel entitled to put anybody down. But that's the simple fact. They don't live in reality because their reality is created by the controllers of the media. And the controllers of the media control the world. Remember, the best way to create things is, they've got the mechanism to do it. The best way to create the future is to create it.
Right.
So, anyway, that's the game.
And they're steering the ship.
It's completely true. Okay. All right, anything you want to add to that? I think Yeadon is certainly a voice, as well, we've played him many times in the last 2+ years. He's worth listening to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
So, all right.
No, more of the same.
Let's go into our human files and try to bring stories to you that you'll never hear in the mainstream media, and talk about controlling the future by creating it. They don't have to in this case. These people are nailed, and a lot of them are now reporting more and more about smells and odors, and this is a growing field, and we do think it's indicative of a reflection of what's going on inside the physiology, and that is not good. It's a degradation of life. It may be an actual kill-off of cells. It may be the beginning of putrescence, like as when a body breaks down and the enzymes begin to devolve everything. It smells. It's like what happens to an apple when it turns brown. Those are enzymes at work. All right. Where do you want to go?
Oh, you pick. We've got a bunch of new ones.
Do that to me. I'll pick a lousy one. All right. We got... I don't know. I don't want to do this. Dandelion cures. Look, let's spend a minute on this. There are no ways to cure a genetic catastrophe, which is what the injections are. You can deal with some of the side effects, maybe, but that's the best you're going to do. You're not going to reverse what's been done to you. You are a GMO if you've taken the injection. So dandelion cures and this, you got a story about somebody who's hot onto the EDTA, right?
Oh, yeah, I've got that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Blood in the urine.
All right, are you on the 5th of May?
I think I'm the 5th of May. Yes, May 5.
All right, let me get there. Okay.
All right. let me start this one off.
Okay.
I'll do half of it. Does anyone know if antibiotics from the doctor are now containing mRNA/spike proteins? My mother hasn't been jabbed, but a few weeks ago took antibiotics that the doctor gave her for a suspected UTI. That's a urinary tract infection. I told her that they weren't necessary. She had just one wee little problem with a little blood, no pain or anything, but because the doctor had told her she needed antibiotics, she insisted on taking them. It turned out from the urine test, she didn't have an infection after all. But since then, her memory has gotten to be worse and worse, and now she is upset and confused. I've been trying to think of a trigger, and I wonder about the antibiotics. I don't know the name of them to tell you, but this woman is concerned that there may be mRNA and spike now in antibiotics. 75% or more of the antibiotics that we take here were being manufactured and probably still are in communist China. And the Chinese aren't our biggest friends. A response to that, antibiotics can negatively impact the gut from 6 months up to a couple of years. We have a gut-brain connection, so it makes sense if her body is now out of balance due to the harm that she is having some cognitive issues as well. In the future, suggest she use oregano oil for UTI symptoms instead of Big Pharma. Go ahead.
The original poster replies, thank you. Personally, I have never trusted pharma and always look for natural remedies. But the rest of my family think doctors know best, and certainly more than me. My mother had a bad feeling about the COVID jab, so she did not take it. But with other things, she hasn't even given her body the chance to heal itself and runs to the doctor. I have given her natural things over the last few weeks that are supposed to help memory and try to encourage dietary changes, but she doesn't follow through and seems to be deteriorating suddenly and quickly. My brother and his wife have been living with her since last November, both jabbed and multi-boosted. So this could also be connected.
Yeah.
She was fairly fit and healthy and only mildly forgetful, as we can all be, before then. I live an hour away, and I can only visit once a week. It is hard. Reply to that, it sounds like she is likely suffering the effects of shedding, since she is living with jabbers. Have her focus on detox in general and restoring her gut with probiotics, etc.
See, it's probably too late for the lady because she's living with these people. They're constantly dumping spike and mRNA on her. So she is essentially, likely, passively shot up. She's got the same things that work in her body. And she may be one of the unfortunate ones who is seeing the spike create prions in the brain. Remember, the brain is where the spike goes to. So she may be having brain damage from this.
Well, the blood is involved. Blood in the urine without the, an infection might suggest she's got, low platelets. Mm-hmm. When you have low platelets, your blood gets very, very thin. But you can have this kind of, both clotting and a platelet problem at the same time.
Well, good enough. There's so many variables, so many different factors. It's daunting.
Well, the blood is not healthy. That's for sure. And when the endothelium that can become leaky. These nosebleeds. The menstrual bleeding and urine in the blood and also bloody stools is not uncommon as a symptom of shedding or having had the bioweapon. But this is all shedding.
Shedding, indeed. Okay, the next one is, okay, thank you. My gut instinct was that it was not going to be good for her to have my brother and his wife living with her for a period of time. But it is difficult, as I am the black sheep of the family with regard to my views. My mother did ask them not to have a further booster shot before coming, but that created a big furor in the family, and my niece guilt-tripped her about seeing them on the streets. Ha ha. I am not convinced they haven't had further boosters in March, as they both had flu symptoms, coughing for weeks. There's that COVID cough, COVID shot cough. But my mother is more concerned about upsetting them than her own health. It's difficult. My children have all had the jabs and are against my views. How could she allow her children to get the shots unless they're adult children? I don't know how old they are. They live at long distance, so they're adults. Okay. So I don't see them often. And fortunately, it is unlikely that they would ask to live with me for a while. All right. And the last one, go ahead.
I lost a family member who was unjabbed, who was living with family members who were jabbed. She had many health problems up to the time that she died. She died 2 weeks after dating a jabbed man.
Gosh darn it. Another one.
I think that the combination of all these events is what killed her. My friend got shingles after being around her son who got the jab. I got shingles after being around someone who got their first jab. These are the things that can happen when you go around the jabbed. Some people have symptoms that are even worse. I read a comment from a woman who had her son stay overnight, and when she changed his sheets, it made her eyes extremely bloodshot. It looked like she bled from her eyes. Mm-hmm. She posted a picture, and she suffered so much. These people are very toxic.
All true. So, I don't know how old this woman is, dating somebody, but just being around someone who's shot up, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're next to them, with them, sharing food
and
with them.
And, you don't have to have symptoms. That's the deceptive part of it. When people first started doing the live blood analysis after the vax rollout, some of the people who were unjabbed but were spending time with the jabbed, their blood was almost indistinguishable from the jabbed. It was in many cases just as bad.
Yep. Okay.
And they didn't have symptoms. That's the thing. Other than maybe fatigue. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, if your blood can't carry oxygen very well, that would be understandable. Or if you're microclotting.
All right. Erica has dug up some kind of a new angle to the smell issue and shedding. People use the term Raynaud, R-A-Y-N-A-U-D-S, Raynaud syndrome in some cases. But let's go. These are called Raynauds from shedding. And let's see. The first picture shows people's hands. And some of them...
This is one person.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. We didn't post
all right,
the picture, so it's not fair. But the hands and... Half the fingers are white, and the other fingers are pink with blood. They're just white for no reason, starting at the knuckle and going to the next knuckle, and they're white. They look like they have no circulation. Anyhow.
Yeah, it's quite noticeable. So Raynaud's syndrome is a circulatory issue where you get these vasospasms in the blood, the capillaries or the blood vessels that feed the fingers. And they can basically cut off the blood supply, so the fingers turn white and they feel numb. And apparently this can be a sign of shedding, which is understandable if it's something to do with microclotting.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular person believes it's due to shedding and graphene, and has since... taken the advice, prevailing advice in the alt news arena of taking EDTA and going to a chemical supply shop and picking up a bottle of sodium EDTA, believing that this is what's needed to, overcome these issues that she's having. So it's really remarkable how people get sucked into consuming chemicals.
Well, it isn't. If they run to the doctor and do what the doctor says every damn time without thinking or questioning, this is the same mentality. They'll pick it up on social media and do what social media tells them. They just want to be told what to do.
Very few people do their research, and I predicted that this was going to end in disaster, and I'm seeing it. EDTA, for those that don't know, is a chemical chelator. It's a synthetic chemical that's used to, basically purify aqueous solutions, water solutions of metal ions. And once upon a time, they used to use this for lead poisoning. And you can go and get an infusion of EDTA, and it will pull out lead if you're toxic with lead. But the problem is it will also, if you don't use a particular type of form of EDTA, calcium disodium EDTA, it will also pull out calcium from your blood. Now, calcium is kept at a very precise level in blood plasma because it's a signaling molecule. So when you start messing around with this form of EDTA that does not have the calcium attached to it, it will automatically go after the calcium in your blood, and it could cause arrhythmias or tetany. All I'm going to say is people that are suffering this bioweapon illness have issues with their calcium metabolism, their iron metabolism, their ability to detoxify, and introducing a chemical chelator in somebody that's really metabolically compromised, and that's an understatement with this illness. You're asking for trouble because you do not want to be mobilizing heavy metals, moving them around the body and not being able to eliminate them. And in the case of EDTA, it leaves the body through the kidneys, which are often impaired in this bioweapon illness. The microclotting causes impairments of blood
very
flow
common
to the kidneys. And this is, I guarantee you, this is going to end badly.
Yeah.
But anyway, this person is rather enthusiastic about it. And I guess attracted the attention of many people in the group that are now wondering where to buy it and will be probably embarking on the same protocol. And it's really flabbergasting that people will reach for chemicals and not, you know, go for the nutrients that are being depleted, the nutrients that are required to run your physiology that we know about, but yet would gravitate towards, you know, chemicals like this and further toxify themselves.
A couple comments about the pictures of hands. Just imagine you're looking at the palm of your hand and looking at your fingers, and your middle two fingers, for example, at the first knuckle and on out to your fingernail are completely white, and the rest of your hand is pink with blood, but your two middle fingers have no blood circulation. And someone wrote in about the pictures and said, that looks like Raynaud's disease. Same person wrote in, show us after the EDTA when you can, as someone had commented, I'm 4 days into doing the EDTA, the so-called chelation. And another comment, no, it's heavy metals and graphene from the dentist. It's laid thick inside from three ratchet root canals. I think she meant wretched root canals, but wrote ratchet. I had to get removed what they did to me. I don't know what that means, but this is social media. So anyway, first of all, don't ever get a root canal. Pull the damn tooth if you can't get it fixed. Don't get a root canal. If you don't believe me, look up root canal dangers and do some research. It's all there. You will see.
Yeah, that just harbors disease.
But anyway, for Raynaud's, around the clock, right into your blood. Go ahead.
Just for the record, Raynaud's syndrome can be remedied. I mean, you know, this is classic for this bioweapon illness, this depletion of niacin. Flush niacin is effective in restoring the circulation and stopping the vasospasms in Raynaud's, along with alpha-lipoic acid. That combination is really effective. And those are nutrients. Those are not chemicals. Those are nutrients that your body recognizes and will put to use. It's not something that you have to worry about poisoning yourself with.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hopefully, you'll all, whoever is out there listening, who's talking or thinking about EDTA, do more thinking and more talking.
Yeah.
Do more research. Okay. We don't prescribe here. We just offer information. All right. That's it. We're running over. Thank you. Brilliant job as always.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Good night,
Wednesday.
Everyone.
Right.
Okay.
Back in a few minutes with hour three for you. Big report from Mitchell Henderson coming up next about Ukraine.